From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the coming year brings budget woes to New York. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on an early voting proposal by Governor Cuomo, and we look ahead to more proposals in the coming State of the State address. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. With a projected multi-billion dollar deficit and looming federal changes that could cost the state billions more, the biggest obstacle in the upcoming 2018 legislative session will be balancing the state budget. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
The second highest ranking Republican in the Senate, John DeFrancisco, says the budget will be horrible.
I think it's going to be very, very difficult, probably the most difficult budget year the governor's had since he's been governor.
The state's controller, Tom DiNapoli, a Democrat, agrees. He says the projected $4.4 billion deficit and lower than expected tax collections are only the beginning of the trouble.
It's really a triple whammy of federal tax reform, federal budget cuts, health care cuts and repealing the ACA. All of this is going to affect us very negatively.
Congress has already stopped funding the Child Health Plus program to provide health insurance for poor children. And President Trump ended subsidies that fund a program in New York to help low-income adults get affordable health care. If Congress follows through with proposals to completely repeal the Affordable Care Act, New York would lose billions more dollars in Medicaid funding. The tax overhaul plan would also hit the state hard. Many New Yorkers at the lower end of the income scale would end up paying less in taxes. But the potential loss of the deductions for state and local taxes, along with a reduction in the mortgage tax deduction, would result in higher tax payments for many middle and upper income earners. That could have ripple effects that would result in a significant drop in state revenue. Governor Cuomo's been railing against the plan nearly every day, calling it devastating for the state of New York.
Everybody's taxes in the state of New York just went up 20%. Property taxes effectively go up 20%.
The governor says he'll have to find significant savings in the new budget in order to balance the spending plan. DeFrancisco, the Senate deputy leader, says it's going to be difficult to find cuts, even in the largest portion of the budget, school aid.
It'll never happen in education. There's no way that's going to happen.
The state is more generous in its Medicaid program than most other states. DeFrancisco thinks there might be room for reductions there. Controller DiNapoli says lawmakers won't be able to borrow their way out of the crisis. He says the state's total debt of nearly $64 billion, or over $3,000 for every man, woman, and child in the state, is already high.
We continue to be one of the most highly indebted states in the nation, so that option of using debt to make up for revenue shortfalls elsewhere, it really is a very limited option for us in New York. So we're going to have a tough session in 2018.
The budget is due by April 1, and with all the hard decisions to make, many believe it's going to be difficult to meet that. And there are even fewer days next year for lawmakers to work on it. Passover begins Friday, March 30th. Easter Sunday is on April 1st. Cuomo in recent days has tried to offer incentives to lawmakers to finish by the deadline, including perhaps the first pay raise in nearly 20 years.
You certainly have to perform at your job if you want a raise. And a fundamental indicator of the job that the legislature does, and the governor and the executive, is passing a budget on time. So I have said, if they don't pass a budget on time, there should be no conversation about a pay raise.
The governor and legislature established a commission in 2015 to look at whether pay raises are warranted, but it fell through late last year due to infighting between the two sides. The work on the budget starts when Cuomo releases his spending plan in mid-January. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now is Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, Andrew Cuomo of New York is proposing early voting as part of his State of the State address. No-brainer?
Democrats have always been for expanding the franchise, good for them, be it motor voter or registering by mail or voting by mail or early voting or voting on more than one day. Because the idea is the more people you're getting voting, the more of a democracy you have. Traditionally, the Republicans have always been against it. They've always argued that it's the sanctity of the ballot box, that there'll be false voting. Now, Andrew Cuomo may have his own political motives, let's face it. He's got a problem with his contemporary left in his party, and these are the kinds of things you say when you are courting that group.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Supporters of the DREAM Act held a National Day of Action this month after a year of uncertainty over what would happen to the program under the Trump administration. Advocates rallied in Washington, D.C., while other smaller demonstrations in support of immigrants brought to the United States as children went on in communities across the country and New York State. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard attended one such gathering recently in Saratoga Springs and filed this report.
Demonstrators held signs and small flashlights on a chilly corner of Broadway Wednesday night. They gathered to show support for a Clean DREAM Act, calling on Congress to grant legal status to immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. Trump administration policies, such as the announcement to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program and raids by Immigration and Customs Enforcement over the summer, have motivated local advocates. Diane Collins traveled down the Northway from Glens Falls to attend the vigil. She said she wasn't surprised by several arrests made by ICE in Saratoga Springs over the last several months.
I was expecting that kind of action from ICE. It's, again, a deplorable situation, and they're going after the wrong people.
In early November, a 21-year-old Mexican man who came to the U.S. at age 16 was arrested outside of Saratoga Springs City Court after arraignment on a DWI charge, reduced to a traffic violation. The event was organized by the Saratoga Immigration Coalition. Advocates have pointed out that Saratoga Springs, with its entrenched horse racing industry and summer tourism boom, needs immigrant workers to survive. Terry Diggory is a member of the Welcoming Immigrants Task Force at the local Presbyterian New England Congregational Church.
And we wanted to show that there is, in fact, a great deal of support for a DREAM Act around the country. So this is actually just one of many local events, even in our area, that are occurring in support of the DREAM Act.
Reverend Joe Cleveland of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Saratoga Springs was also on hand representing the faith community.
We are motivated by our religious values of loving your neighbor and welcoming the stranger, and that's why we voted to become a sanctuary congregation, to support the new sanctuary movement and to support immigrants in our community.
The two congregations have partnered to offer services and sanctuary to anyone who feels they are under threat of deportation. The Presbyterian New England Congregational Church in Saratoga Springs set aside an apartment for anyone seeking sanctuary residence. Diggory, a church elder, said the apartment has not yet been used.
We have had inquiries from people who might want to use that space, but at the moment, so far, we have not had somebody actually go into sanctuary residence. It's a very extreme measure, very restricting for the person who decides to take that step.
Some at the vigil also took the opportunity to voice their displeasure with President Donald Trump, with one sign calling for his impeachment. This week, after Texas Democratic Representative Al Green forced a vote, an impeachment resolution was tabled in the House. Though several cars honked in support of the event in Saratoga Springs, one man leaned out of a vehicle to gesture and shout Trump's "Make America Great Again" campaign slogan at the demonstrators.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been unveiling proposals from his State of the State address set for January 3rd. His second proposal is about protecting the Hudson River. He and State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman have vowed to sue the Federal Environmental Protection Agency if it deems PCB dredging to be complete. More from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
Calling the proposal the first part of a comprehensive environmental program, Governor Cuomo says New York will immediately take action against the EPA if the agency accepts the upper Hudson River dredging of PCBs as complete. In other words, if EPA issues a certificate of completion. Basil Sagos is State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner.
It's really important that we get this right. This is a once-in-a-many-generation opportunity to correct the wrongs on one of the nation's most important rivers. And for the sake of political expediency, we can't just rush this. We can't rush the conclusion. I think that's what has beset this project for the last 2 or 3 years, this rush to the finish. And what we need to do is rely on the science to guide us, and that guides us towards a different conclusion from where we are right now.
General Electric removed 2.65 million cubic yards of contaminated sediment from a 40-mile stretch of the Upper Hudson through 2015. The EPA earlier this year released its second review of the cleanup of PCBs from the Upper Hudson River, and there was a public comment period. The review concludes that the $1.7 billion six-year cleanup of the Superfund site is working and will accomplish its long-term goal of protecting human health and the environment when complete. Ned Sullivan is president of Scenic Hudson, one of several environmental groups and lawmakers calling for more dredging.
I was not aware that the governor and the attorney general were going to issue this public statement at this time. And I believe that there is still an opportunity for a win-win here. And it's my hope that Regional Administrator Lopez will adhere to his own exhortation of June of 2015, when he joined with other state legislators, New York State legislators, in calling on Governor Cuomo to do all in his power to direct GE to perform additional dredging.
He refers to Pete Lopez, who recently was named EPA Region 2 Administrator. EPA spokeswoman Larissa Romanowski says Lopez is giving his full attention to both the five-year review report and GE's request for certification of completion of the remedial action, and will take the time he needs to ensure that he has the information necessary to make these important decisions. She says EPA does not anticipate making a final determination by January 3rd on GE's request for certification of completion. GE spokesman Mark Behan says dredging has been a success.
There's been a 70% decline in PCB levels in water, and declines at every single station where environmental data are collected. And EPA expects those declines to continue going forward. And it said the project will protect public health and the environment, and that no additional dredging was recommended. You know, EPA called the dredging project a historic achievement, and I think that's exactly right.
Former EPA Region 2 Administrator Judith Enck worked on the PCB dredging issue.
Look, personally, I think the more PCBs that are removed from the river, the better. I think this is a tall mountain to climb, given that GE did comply with what EPA directed them to do. But I think, you know, it's useful to push for more dredging.
Again, DEC Commissioner Sagos.
So last summer we spent about $2 million doing sediment testing in the river. What we found is that there are significant sections of the former dredging project that still have very high levels of PCBs, and presented that to the governor, and the governor felt strongly that the job here is not done, and that in no way, shape, or form should there be a certificate of completion.
The EPA spokeswoman says the agency intends to issue the review report before making a final determination on GE's request for a certification of completion. Cuomo says New York is prepared to withdraw from the 2002 Record of Decision, which guided the cleanup and was signed under a previous administration. He alleges that the 2002 decision relied on flawed modeling rather than actual sampling data.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Another proposal from New York Governor Cuomo in his 2018 State of the State address is an action to stop railcar storage in the Adirondack Park. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley explains.
New York State is taking several actions to stop Iowa Pacific Holdings from continuing its plan to store up to 2,000 railcars on tracks in Warren and Essex counties in the Adirondacks. Governor Cuomo says the state would take legal action to halt the railcar storage. In a press release, Cuomo said, quote, "New York is prepared to exhaust all legal options to end this practice once and for all," unquote. The State Department of Environmental Conservation has issued a cease and desist order demanding that the Saratoga and North Creek Railway, a subsidiary of Iowa Pacific, immediately stop any future storage of rail cars and remove existing stored rail cars. The state has also filed a petition with the Federal Surface Transportation Board outlining its arguments against the railroad's continued use of the rail line. Protect the Adirondacks Executive Director Peter Bauer says the state's petition correctly outlines the arguments showing that the railroad is not appropriately using the tracks.
The history of the park, the Article 14 protections under the state constitution, the unique history of that rail line, and how the impacts from storage are fundamentally different from the uses of the rail line for transportation. And hopefully those things will have an impact on the Surface Transportation Board's ultimate decision.
Adirondack Council spokesman John Sheehan finds the state's arguments on solid legal footing.
We believe that the state has a right to prevent a commercial junkyard from being created, especially on the forest preserve, and certainly without a permit. We've thought all along that the Department of Environmental Conservation and the Adirondack Park Agency had jurisdiction here.
The rail company leases part of the tracks under an agreement with Warren County. Board of Supervisors Chair Ron Conover notes that the board passed a resolution opposing the storage of rail cars anywhere in the Adirondacks. He says it is extremely significant that the governor and state are dedicating resources to challenge the rail company's action.
The rail cars themselves are unsightly. Who knows how many locations we could end up with over time. The condition of the cars has been drawn into question. A lot of these cars have graffiti on them. Speaking in terms of Warren County, you know, it's not the reason that we got into the rail business to begin with. We entered the rail business as an economic development initiative to promote our tourism, visitor traffic. So it's not the kind of use that we believe enhances the Adirondack experience.
Many of the currently stored rail cars are near the town of Minerva. Town Supervisor Stephen McNally says while most of the cars are not visible, many people are angry they are being stored in the Adirondacks.
We appreciate what the governor is doing on this. We're in the Adirondack Park. It's pristine wilderness. And then basically we're being used as a dumping ground for these storage cars. I've been dealing with this railroad for the last few years, and I think that this will be resolved quite quickly. The railroad has done this in other areas of the country, and I followed up on some of it. This is usually trying to get some trade-off to get these cars off there. And Mr. Ellis said at the board in Warren County when we were there that, you know, if you pay me money, I won't do this. So money is the root of all this evil here, basically.
Calls to Iowa Pacific Holdings President Ed Ellis were not returned in time for broadcast.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1752. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.